الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم تلك الدار الآخرة نجعلها للذين لا يريدون علوا في الأرض ولا فسادا والعاقبة للمتقين صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected brothers and elders, we had been discussing the 10 signs of taqwa and piety. We had discussed firstly that a person, one sign is to remain steadfast upon the path of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah and not to be influenced by any ideologies, any isms, any new ways. And the object is to remain upon this path right up to our dying day, till the day we leave this dunya. Second thing we had mentioned was the person is consistent with his salat. He reads his salat with jamaat in the masjid, and he remains upon this every day of his life. As we mentioned, alhamdulillah, in the month of Ramadan, this was extremely easy. Now it needs a bit of effort, sometimes a concerted effort. But alhamdulillah, we find many brothers who are continuing with this practice even after Ramadan. And this is a proof and a manifestation of the fact that it's extremely easy when a person wishes to do something and he makes an effort, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala eases the way. Another way is also to encourage others that are around us. The object is to fill our masajid. Alhamdulillah, we are fortunate in our country. We have masajid in every corner and nook of our towns. And we find that those masajids get filled up on Eid day, day of Jumu'ah, etc. But the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the 5 daily salat is for every day. So we can also contribute in this manner, that we invite a friend or two, somebody in our surroundings, somebody in our workplace, somebody that is we are acquainted with at the time of salat, to come and read the salat with jama'ah, and also get the salat, the reward of his salat as well. The usul or the hadith, ad-daru ala al-khayri kafa'ilihi, a person that indicates, encourages and exhorts somebody to do any good, then kafa'ilihi is like a person who has done that good himself. Person reads his salat, he gets his reward. He encourages one person or two people to come and read salat. They also come, he gets the reward. Apart from his reward, he gets the rewards for their action as well. Now you can well imagine if a person encourages 10 people, 20 people or 50 people to come for salat, and they all come and read salat, he gets the reward of 50 salat apart from his salat. Very easy way of earning the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and encouraging our Muslim brothers to come and read the salat in jama'ah. And as we mentioned some virtues last week about salat wal jama'ah, one great virtue is this also, that is multiplied 25 times and in some riwayat 27 times. Otherwise, the same salat when a person reads at home, he gets a reward of one salat. And if he reads it in the masjid, then he gets the reward of 27 salat. In some riwayat, 25 salat. Can we imagine? We're all conscious of added reward. We all want reward and easy reward. Imagine 25 times a person gets the reward of that salat, or 27 times when he reads it in the masjid and reads it with the jama'ah. So a very simple way. Not only that, there are added benefits also. When you read it in the masjid, know the incident of that person who missed his salat. And when he heard or remembered this virtue, said, I will repeat it at home 27 times or 25 times. And he did so. And it was told to him in a dream, that where will you bring the ameen of the malaika? Here the angels of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also present in the masjid. And when the imam says, Wal-ad-dallin, when we say ameen, the angels also say ameen. So you have read the 27 times salat here at home, but how will you bring the ameen of the malaika that say ameen at Wal-ad-dallin? They say ameen, and obviously the ameen of the malaika, inshallah, is definitely accepted, and that dua is accepted. Where will you bring that from? So apart from the rewards, we find they are added. There are so many other great benefits, social benefits. We find that love and brotherhood, these feelings of love and brotherhood are enhanced and found, and when you stand shoulder to shoulder with our Muslim brothers. Similarly, we find the quality of equality manifesting itself. Sometimes it is the king and the pauper stand straight here. The justice of Islam, the person that comes first, he wishes to stand in the first serf, and the imam sometimes is late, he stands in the last serf, though he is the imam of the masjid. But because he is delayed, or the king of the country, because he has come late, then he does not deserve the first serf. We do not pull out the person in the first serf. And many other social benefits of equality, brotherhood, love, the feelings of love, as I mentioned, and unity are engendered when you stand and you meet the Muslim brothers every day. And obviously meeting them also enhance the feelings of goodwill towards them. Sometimes you see a person that is very He's destitute, he's poor, etc. You meet him in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and your heart goes out for that person, and we find that you begin to assist that person. You greet that person, and the person greets an ex-Muslim, then we know the greeting brings with it salam and brings with it love, etc. Many other benefits for reading salat in jamaat, the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah loves those people that loves the house of that love the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the person of the masjid, the people that frequent the masjid. When sometimes a calamity is directed towards that locality, they are saved because they are the people of the masjid. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves them. Person comes to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are busy in the worship of Allah. Allah is busy in fulfilling their errands, their needs, etc. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala looks after their belongings, their property, etc. Person comes. These are all added benefits of reading salat in jama'ah. So the second sign of taqwa and piety is this, that the person is punctual with his 5 daily salat in the masjid with jama'ah. The third attribute is this, that a person is punctual here with his salat in the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The third attribute is this, a person abstains from pride and arrogance, and abstains from those activities wherein there is pride and glory seeking, those actions that bring name and fame. The person saves himself from these. This is another alamat and a sign of this person's piety and his taqwa. He does not go out, he does not be arrogant and proud. The verses that I recited before you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, tilka darul akhirah, that house of the ultimate house of the hereafter, naj'aluha lilladhina la yuriduna 'uluwan fil ardi wa la fasada, we assign it to those people who do not wish to have any ulu, have any pride or arrogance in the earth, wa la fasada, nor do they seek any mischief on the earth. We assign this house of the akhirah, that is paradise, for those people that are humble, those people that are not haughty, the people that are not proud, then this house is for them. So another sign of piety is a person is not proud of himself. He has no pride in him, and he is not haughty. And basically, what does pride mean? Pride means that a person rejects the truth, and batrul haqqa wa ghamtun nas. A person rejects the truth, and he looks down upon the people. He looks with contempt on the people, that this person is lower than me, and I am higher than him. And whatever he has, he shows off with that, with the spirit of superiority, that I have this wealth, or I have this knowledge, or I have this know-how, or I have this expertise, or I have this particular standing in society, and then you do not have it. So I look down upon you because of that. So this is pride, where a person thinks himself to be superior and others to be inferior. Where a person thinks himself to be exclusive and unique, and the other people to be downtrodden and to be looked down upon, this is pride. But if a person has worldly wealth, a person has good looks, a person has some expertise, and he attributes this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he's not proud, he does not look down upon the people because of this, then this is not pride. As we understand in the hadith, companions in our Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that some of us like good clothes, or good shoes, etc. Does that mean that we are proud? No, it does not mean that you are proud, on condition that you do not look down upon people. You do not think yourself to be superior. I am much better than that person because of X, Y, Z, because of my wealth, because of my looks, because of my expertise, because I can give a good bayan, because I can read so beautiful, because I am an alim of deen, etc. I look down upon other people and I think superior of myself, and this is pride. And this is not liked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know the results of pride. The results of pride is the accursed shaitan to the day of judgment. His arrogance and pride had not allowed him to make sajda or to be obedient to the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He had not only rejected the law of Allah, but he began to contest the law of Allah. Then how can I make sajda to Adam alayhi salam? Ana khayrun minhu, I am better than him. And this is the thing that is the element of destruction. Ana khayrun minhu, that I am better than him. I am more superior than him. These are the words of shaitan, that I am better than Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. So for any reason, sometimes the person says, but outwardly, this person does have these attributes. He is, for example, a very good qari, or for example, he is a very great alim, or he has a lot of amount of wealth or acceptance in the person. These attributes are found in him. Yes, those attributes may be found in him, but does not warrant him to look down upon other people and think better of himself, but he should attribute this to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, it is from your side that you have given me this position or this standing or this excellence over this person. It is not from my side. I am not better than him. Oh Allah, you have favored me with this additional favor. So he does not look down upon the people around him. And especially when somebody begins to praise a person for some reason, you are a very generous man, you are a very good man, you are a very kind man. And sometimes some people have got a habit of pampering a person and showering him with words sometimes he doesn't deserve, a person gets so pampered that he forgets his whole life history. Whereas every person, walil insanu ala nafsihi basira, insan knows himself. Every human being knows what is within himself, knows his shortcomings, knows his faults, knows where his pitfalls are, knows the defects in his body, knows defects in his akhlaq, character, etc., knows his misdeeds, etc., more than anyone else. وَلِي الْإِنسَانُ عَلَىٰ نَفْسِهِ بَصِيرًا. But with a little bit of phrases, a person forgets that. This is folly and stupidity of that person. The mashayikh give a very beautiful example of one person who wanted to sell his horse. And the horse had a whole lot of faults and shortcomings. It was not fulfilling its purpose. So he called a person and he told him, an agent who was there in that field, and told him, I wish to sell this horse. And that person took it, and we know some of them, the type of lies that I mentioned when a person wants to make a sale, etc. So this person went on to the marketplace and began announcing and giving a long string of the virtues of this horse, most fastest horse that you can ever get, and these are the qualities, and these are the qualities, etc. That person selling the horse was also there. When he heard all this, he told him, no, I think I'm cancelling the sale, I'll take the horse back. Otherwise, he was so deceived by the praising of this agent of the attributes of the horse that he himself forgot all the shortcomings of the horse, and he began to take the horse back. Sounds like a joke, but the mashayikh mentioned, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me and all of us, that a person gives a little bit of praises about you and you get so puffed up with arrogance and pride that you forget your lifelong faults, your lifelong shortcomings are all forgotten. Why? Because so and so said, Hazrat, mashallah, you gave such a good bayan, or you're such an expert person, or you are a person that is accepted by one and all acceptor. All those faults are forgotten. Real happiness and real joy is when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has praise for us. Then that is the day when a person can be happy and pleased that my Allah has accepted me. Though the entire universe did not accept me, but my Allah has accepted me. Today I am kamyab, and today I am successful. But on the contrary, the entire world can sing your praises. But if you are not accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we have no reason to rejoice. For this also, the mashayikh have given a very beautiful example of a woman getting married. All the makeup and everything is put there on that woman, and all the friends around her began to admire her and express the happiness. Oh, you are looking so wonderful today, so beautiful today you are looking. Says that bride began to cry. That bride began to cry and said that this praises of yours that are showered upon me is of no avail. That praise that when my husband sees me and he is happy with me and he sees me to be attractive, then my work is done. But if all of you get together and tell me I look very beautiful and very praiseworthy and very attractive, and my husband despises me and dislikes me, then I am not successful and my marriage will not be a good marriage. So here again, by the praises, we should not be carried off our feet or begin to fly in the sky with the praises of the people around us. And till the results are not known. And what are the results? فَمَنْ زُحْزِ عَنِ النَّارِ وَأُدْخِلَ الْجَنَّةِ فَقَدْ فَازْ. The person that is saved from the fire of Jahannam and enters into paradise, فَقَدْ فَازْ. That person is successful. That person is kamyab, and that person has got real success. And when will that be? That will be on the day of judgment. So before the results come out, if a person is jumping here with joy and he's celebrating, etc., before the results have come out, person writes an examination, before the results have come out, he's celebrating. And when the results come out, and if he fails, then of what avail is that celebration? So similar is the example of us. We are all under test and trial here from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Al-ibratu bil-khawateem. It is how we will leave this dunya in a state where Allah is pleased with us or not pleased with us. That is why we should be concerned every day about the day we will pass away, and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He keeps us upon iman and takes us away upon iman. So here the third quality or the third sign of the people that are really pious are that they are humble. وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينِ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنَا. Another place Allah Ta'ala mentions the qualities that the servants of Rahman, the one that is gracious, they are humble. They are very humble, and the most humble was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the most greatest Imamul Anbiya, Sayyidul Qunain, Huzuri Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the leader of the creation. But if you look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then there was nobody that was more humble than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So greatness really is in humility, not in pride and pomp and show, and a person feeling that he is greater than the others. No, it is really in humility before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the third quality of those people that are pious people, that they are humble people. The fourth quality is recognizing the gifts and bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and appreciating them. And as we mentioned previously, وَمَا بِكُم مِّن نِعْمَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. Whatever ni'mat you have, it is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how it may seem outwardly that you have worked for it, you have earned it, or you have secured it and procured it by this manner and that manner, but in reality, that is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And وَمَّا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنَ اللَّهِ. In another verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, whatever good befalls you, it is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whether it is your health, whether it is your wealth, whether it is your prominence, whether it is your honor, whether it is your respect, whether it is your family, whether it is your position in society, whatever good attribute has come to you, it is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As long as a person recognizes this, then there is no danger of the azab of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala coming of that person due to being ungrateful. Because the person that recognizes that these ni'mats are from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he'll never be arrogant, he'll never attribute it to himself, and he'll always try to be grateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All the ni'mats are from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we cannot say, we cannot claim that we have the right of this ni'mat or we are deserving of this ni'mat. It is only the bounty and grace and favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that those ni'mats have come to us. Why? Because if a person says that I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and because of that I have to get this ni'mat, I am deserving of this ni'mat, then who has given us the tawfiq and the guidance? Who has given us the strength to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? None other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself. He has given us the outward requirements of worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whether it is the health, etc., the understanding. Together with that, he has given us the tawfiq and the guidance to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also is because of the tawfiq of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we cannot, on the basis of our ibadat, we are deserving of the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Secondly, we find that the gifts and bounties and favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are unlimited. They are unlimited, and every moment of them, we find them raining upon us, like torrential rains and showers coming upon every one of us, and our ibadat is so limited. Our ibadat is so little and scanty and so limited in the face, if we try and take that on one hand, on the other hand, we place the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then our ibadat comes nowhere near the ni'mats of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And another third aspect of our ibadat is this: who can claim that he has worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in accordance with the majesty of Allah, according to the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Our ibadat falls far short from the greatness of Allah, the majesty of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So our ibadat cannot match the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How can you say, in lieu of my ibadat, I have deserved this ni'mat and I have deserved this ni'mat? Reminds me of an incident that a person had made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that he must pass away in sajda. He had worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one jungle, and he should drink water, and I think he should have one pomegranate a day, and thereafter he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, take me away in sajda. It's mentioned in the riwayat that till today he's in sajda. When he'll be brought before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it'll be told to him that take this person into paradise. Take this person to paradise because of my grace and because of my mercy and because of my kindness. A thought will come in his heart that, oh Allah, I have worshipped you for 500 years, and here it's told to me that you must enter paradise through my mercy, through my kindness and grace. It was told to the angel to take this person around in Jahannam or around Jahannam. And when he came back, he was extremely thirsty. He was extremely thirsty, and thereafter he asked for water. It was told to him, for that water, you will have to pay 500 years of ibadat. You will have to pay 500 years of ibadat to get a glass of water. He was prepared to part with that. Thereafter he was questioned, if this, your ibadat, was just in lieu of this water, then what about the other ni'mats? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala began to mention all the other ni'mats were mentioned before him, that besides this water, you were given sound health, you were given security, you were given this ni'mat and that ni'mat. How do you pay for that ni'mat? Through your ibadat. So it is not my ibadat and your ibadat. In fact, in one riwayat it mentioned that no person will enter paradise except bi rahmatillah, with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O Prophet of Allah, even you, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, yes, even me. I will enter paradise because of the mercy of Allah, the grace of Allah, and because of the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every ni'mat that we have, it is from the side of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We must learn to recognize that and attribute that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is why the elderly people, when should ask them how is their health, they will say, Allah ka lakh lakh shukr hai. They should express grace and say that there is lakh shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, countless shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that I am healthy and I am well. Attributing this ni'mat to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the first thing is to recognize the ni'mat is from Allah, and secondly, to appreciate that ni'mat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we appreciate the ni'mat? Inshallah, we'll continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillah rabbil alameen.